Bonjour, this is Jennifer Sage with the Indoor Cycling Association, bringing you another Tour de France stage for 2014. This is stage 20, the time trial from Bergerac to Périgueux, to give you the correct pronunciation. And I have got Tom Scotto with me. How are you doing, Tom?
I am doing great. Thanks, Jennifer.
I was so excited when you wanted to do the time trial for this tour. Because I know you've raced some time trials and you have a way with describing suffering.
Okay.
You've tasted it. And that's what a time trial is. It's a lot of suffering. So I'm actually just going to sit back and let you take over and tell our listeners of this Tour de France package, you know, how you put this together and how you suggest they teach it, as well as how you chose some of your music.
Sure. Well, one of the challenges that I've had in the past with doing, whether it be, you know, even things like functional threshold tests or things where it's a long, hard, steady state effort, and in a lot of ways there's not as many distractions, you know, like monumental climbs or sprints or just a lot of inactivity in that and saddle. You know, there's just that challenge of keeping people's interest, as well as from an exercise and a training perspective, keeping their intensity where it needs to go. And that same challenge is found in doing a time trial effort because, you know, it's a lot different. You don't have an interaction between riders. I mean, there's some fun you can have if you break your class up into all the individual riders and make believe they're all on time cuts and stuff. But I've done that before, and that gets a little crazy. So hats off to instructors that have been able to pull off every rider being on their own and keeping track of all their times. So I thought I'd do something which maybe is a bit sadistic, but in my view is closer to reality from my experience as to what a rider deals with on the day of a time trial and actually going through the stroke by stroke, you know, on the bike, what goes through their mind, what are the challenges that they're faced with, not just physical terrain challenges, but just challenges within themselves. So that was sort of my approach to this, and, you know, it allowed me to draw on some of the experiences I've had. I've not done a ton of time trials. I've done them, you know, as similar to the tour, although nowhere near on that level, just local domestic races that are multi-day. Usually the races are somewhere from 3 to 5 day stage races that had a time trial as part of it. And I'm, you know, as most people know by just probably being aware of my build, I'm not a climber per se. So I am a decent time trialist as long as the road is relatively flat. Uh-huh. And as we can see by looking at this particular profile, it is not flat. Now, there are no categorized climbs in it, but it's definitely got some pretty severe rolling terrain, which, you know, one would have to navigate. So I wouldn't think any of the pure sprinters would be having a fun day with this. But, you know,
probably
you never know.
Not. And I love how you bring in a little of the history of who is it? Anca Thiel and Miguel Indurain, the same exact Bergerac de Périgueux was used in 61 and 94. And that kind of history is always fun to sprinkle in these indoor stages.
Sure. And one of the things I kind of did, which is a little bit more off the cuff, was I gave the instructor an option to share history in the sense of we would not necessarily be sharing this type of history because we're too focused. So it's kind of a sideways slide into giving them a little history, but basically telling them that on stages like this, the riders are so focused in a much different way than any other stage in the tour, because when you're riding in the peloton or you're just riding in a group type of event, you know, there's distractions, there's places to hide, there's times when you're not the focus. But whether you're the, you know, and I've been in both places. I've been a rider that was in the top 10 where my time counted, and more so, I've been the rider who basically is just what we call pack fodder, you know, my time didn't really matter at all. But it doesn't really matter where you're placing when you're in a time trial because all the eyes are on you.
Right.
And even if you don't you know, if you're not a contender, you still feel like all the eyes are on you, because there literally are no distractions away from what you're dealing with on every single pedal stroke. So it's a really different experience. And, you know, this is a fun thing to try to bring into your classes and get riders to really hone in on what they are experiencing, you know, whatever time interval they're willing to deal with, minute by minute or every 30 seconds or and not that you're going to ask for that, but that's where this profile has the potential to go, is to take them out of sort of the class group environment and allow them to not even necessarily deal with their performance, their ability to climb, you know, their leg speed, but really into themselves and start dealing with what are the things that challenge them, you know, not to get too, you know, deep into the psychology, but, you know, in life, you know, what are the things that make them want to quit?
Yeah.
You know, what are the challenges that bring them to the point where they don't want to do this anymore and they start doubting themselves or even discounting things? Like, I've done that many times. I've been in a time trial and things are so hard. I'm like, you know what? I don't really care about this stage. I really don't care. And that's just, you know, you're just trying to get, you're being a baby. You're just trying to get yourself out of it. And again, it has nothing to do with placing. It's just you're trying to remove commitment and dedication, like, in real time from yourself. So these types of events to me are, you know, really bring you as a rider to, you know, to the heart of who you are as a person. So it's, you know, I don't know if that might not be fun for a lot of people, but, you know, I think as a lot of our people in our classes are really into, you know, doing things that they perform well, or they can measure their improvement, or just, you know, see how well they've been sort of conditioning, this has a lot of great opportunities for that. So
I was just going to say, I just love the fact that we can use our indoor fitness classes as metaphors for life. And I don't think there's anything more perfect for doing so than a stage of the Tour de France.
I agree. Absolutely. And I think what it does, you know, sometimes we look at Tour de France stages and even doing something like, you know, a Tour de France package and trying to take these and bring them to our classes as just sort of, okay, you know, it's a Tour de France and I guess I should do something, you know, for those few people that may be watching or may care, or, you know, the two or three riders in our class that tend to wear cycling kits. You know, we just assume that they're the only ones into the tour. But it's rides like this that help us see the importance and the power of indoor cycling in general.
Yeah.
It's just something that kind of highlights it, that throws a spotlight on where we can bring people in our class. And it shows us the power we have as instructors.
All right. So let's dive into your...
Yeah, preaching to the choir, preaching to the choir. But anyway, let's get into it. So I've sort of set this stage, so to speak, quote unquote, with the fact that the rider that we are portraying is in third place. And, you know, you can make up whatever time you want. I wasn't going to get too particular on times because I think it, you know, it can get very confusing when, you know, instructors that are just trying to wrap their mind around all the different intricacies of the Tour de France and how things are categorized and the classifications. So, you know, just to keep it simple, this rider is in third place and they are within striking distance of winning. And since this is stage 20, tomorrow, theoretically, we enter Paris. One of the parts of setting the stage for this time trial is the fact that we know that the next day in the Tour de France time is the final stage, is stage 21 on the Champs-Élysées. And as history has dictated, the winner going in of the entire Tour de France, the general classification winner, is going to be able to celebrate when they hit Paris, having won the tour without even having to have turned a pedal on the Champs-Élysées. Now, of course, they have to finish the race and be healthy and all that good stuff. So it is against cycling etiquette to challenge the yellow jersey or the leader on that final day. And I think there might have been some times in early history of the tour, but outside of the battle with Greg LeMond in 1989, when it was contested in Paris,
because of the time trial, yeah.
because of the time trial. I don't know of any other time. So maybe if someone else finds it, they can add it in there and create more excitement.
Just as an aside, every year they announce the Tour de France. I just cross my fingers they're going to do something different, like a time trial into Paris again. But we'll continue on. We'll that'll be pretty exciting if that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. That I think that would be a spectacle of all spectacles to see something like that. So maybe they're afraid the city can't handle it. We don't know. So here's here's the scene that has been set. You know, you are this rider. You've created this this simulation that the riders in your class are this individual who was in third place the day before Paris. And they have the opportunity that within striking distance of being able to take over as the leader going in. And of course, this could be a very exciting time, but it's also a very crazy time emotionally. The media, of course, would be all over that. There'd be people that would be for you. There would be people that would be your antagonists. Just like going to court, they're going to find everything that could possibly enable you to win, as well as everything that in your life that has proven that you don't have the ability, to be a champion. So there's a lot on the line, whether people say it or not. And, as I said earlier, this is very different than being in a group dynamic on the road. And even to the music and how I've used the music during this profile, anytime I've been either at a time trial myself or at events, watching a time trial. And I know Jennifer and I were at the U.S. Pro Championships back over the summer in Colorado.
Yeah, last August. That was pretty exciting. The trial in Vail.
Yeah, and that's when you and I got a chance to go around and we did some videoing and then you saw your main man there and it was fun.
Jens Voigt.
Jens Voigt, yes. But what we did notice, right, Jennifer, was just everybody was in their own space. They had headphones on and they were focused.
They were on their bikes, on their trainers, heads down, earphones in, and I can't remember where I read it, but obviously everyone has their own taste, but they put on, some of them will just play the one song that inspires them over and over and over again, because it is the song that digs in deep.
Absolutely. And that was really what inspired me when I started writing this profile, to say, okay, how do I make this realistic? How do I make it something that, has excitement throughout, that has different energy levels, different emotional levels? So I really took this opportunity to bring you inside of the head of probably a majority. I won't say all, but, this, everyone has their own, as you said, Jennifer, taste in music and approach to things. But from the riders I've talked to in my own experience, it's fairly universal to really put a heavy burden on music to emotionally place us where we believe we need to be. And some people, do different things with music where they even build a profile for themselves. They're not instructors or anything, but they build a musical emotional profile to bring them up to the actual minutes where they get on in the start house ready to hit the course. So I figured, hey, what more perfect of a musical landscape for us as indoor cycling instructors? So I went ahead and took that liberty and used it.
So your music is really, in a sense, it's angry.
It's sort of angry. I wouldn't necessarily say angry. There's definitely a lot of hard emotions, but I think the emotions do waver. And you'll see that as we go through, because our emotions, at least I know myself, wavered somewhat heavily, it can be really humbling, to be an experienced rider, particularly someone who you feel is somewhat well adjusted emotionally, and maybe everyone who's listening to this going, oh, Tom, you are totally deceived. But anyway, that's my own little world. And I'm like, gee, wow, I can't really hold it together for this event. And because it does bring you to the very edge of who you are as a person.
And the other thing I love what you've done with your music is you use the lyrics to drive this. And just for those listening, just remember to go in and read the PDF, because he puts the lyrics that he follows with the cues. So that's very, very powerful.
And that just happens to be the way I relate to music. And I know not everyone necessarily does that. Some people listen to the musical quality or just the instrumentation, which, you know, are all things that can really be motivational, you know, for us. But I tend to like to find, you know, a music that has something in it that at least part of it, you know, you look at every song, even the songs that I use here, none of them are absolutely perfect, you know, where every single word totally on target, you know.
Got to extrapolate, you know, they might be talking, I'm reading one of them right now, you know, it's time to come to fight or lose, so go ahead and try me. Those are some of the lyrics that you have. But, I mean, he's not talking about a race, obviously.
No, he could be talking about wrangling, you know, rubber chickens, but it doesn't matter. We grabbed that one line because we liked it. But anyway, that's really, you know, what was the premise here, is to find music that described the battle and wave of emotion that a rider would be going through during an event like this. And that is sort of the profile. It's almost an emotional profiling that we're trying to lead our riders through. It is 40 minutes flat out, which is a very hard effort. Like I said, there's not a lot of distractions. I usually give my riders the freedom to come in and out of the saddle whenever they feel necessary. That's going to be different for different people. And you'll see that oftentimes instructors will get nervous if there's no cues for standing or no cues for terrain. But this is a totally different type of ride, and it almost feels foreign to actually throw those type of cues in, at least for me, because the focus is totally, totally different.
Right, and also as you and I, when we write these profiles, we can't really project ourselves into that instructor's class. So for those listening, if you don't see a cue for standing or sitting, look at your classroom. You know your students better than we do, so you can... If you know students who really need it, give them permission. Don't wait for us to tell you.
Absolutely. And what I do, I like to kind of take my own ride sometimes when I'm doing things like this. And I will lead, in a sense, to give them permission, where I'll tell them, you know, I like to approach this particular ride, you know, a lot out of the saddle or whatever. And I'll tell them, you'll see me standing at different points. It does not mean that you have to stand with me, but if you want to join me, feel free. And it helps people who might, you know, kind of got stuck somewhere in their brain or wherever they were, and all of a sudden they see me as the instructor come up out of the saddle, they go, yeah, I'm going to come up out of the saddle. So there are lots of ways to cue and sort of keep them engaged, but not have to actually give out specific cues for hand position and standing and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
So, you know, again, just looking at the, you know, when they do look at the profile, one of the things they'll see is I have cues broken up into sort of two types. One has a set of square brackets around them, which means that those are lifted exactly from, you know, verbatim from the lyrics of the song. And then there's usually a supporting cue from myself or from that you can use that I just threw in there to back up the lyric. And sometimes I might even repeat the lyric. So I'm not saying that you don't have to say the lyrics. Sometimes it's very powerful just to repeat back or even pick out particular words of a phrase and just let them hang in the air for, you know, for riders to be able to digest. As far as intensity levels, I mean, it's a time trial. Most of the time people are going to be on the edge of their sustainable effort, their sustainable ability. So, you know, you're looking at somewhere in that zone four, upper zone four, constantly falling, teetering, tripping, stumbling at the zone five. And that's going to be one of the battles that they're going to have to deal with, that 85 to 90% of their ability. Of course, you know, people are going to take that however they can take it. But, you know, the intent and the intensity drives people to that level. So there's a lot of battles. Can you hang out there that long? Do you even know what that feels like for new riders? And part of it emotionally on this journey is helping them find that edge and deal with the demons that are waiting for them there. As far as the warm-up, the fun, it's just basically it's just a kind of a song that doesn't have any lyrics, which I tend to use a lot for the warm-up just so I can give more of the description of what's basically going on and letting them know that they're about to venture onto a journey. You know, and you can give them all the Tour de France information that we have included in the profile as far as the towns and the distances and all the sort of the stats and the logistics. But in the end, it really needs to come down to them. You don't want them distracted so much by, you know, all this other stuff, but really put them into the mindset of, if this is going to be a journey and it's not going to be about the bike, but it's going to be about yourself. And you will have challenges against your fitness, challenges against your mental and physical stamina, and your resolve. Will you be able to make it to the end, you know, intact? And give them permission to battle with themselves. As you will see as this profile unfolds, it's not a glorious road of, you know, trumpets and, you know, aura singing and all kinds of stuff as this person just, you know, he takes every blessed pedal stroke to the end. This is a battle that goes back and forth with, you know, doubt and belief and lack of faith and overcoming, and it just goes back and forth. So give your riders that permission from the beginning so that they don't feel bad the first time they falter, even if they falter in a different timing of the profile. One thing I do that's kind of fun, and you can either take this as your primary role or you can take it as a third person, is the director sportif or the coach that's on the road with the rider. And I describe the rider coming out of the start house, which is usually a very elaborate ramp that has, of course, the banners and all the marketing of the Tour de France, and then people, of course, waiting. There's officials there giving riders instruction, etc. But as soon as the rider goes down the ramp and goes on the road, we'll see this, and if you haven't watched the tour before, but those who have, notice a team car will come out and take a place behind the rider on the road. Of course, a team car of their team, and in there is usually a director sportif. You know, if there's another rider on the road of the same team, might be another coach, but their job is to keep that rider focused, let them know where they are as far as time checks, let them know how they're doing with their form, encourage them, basically keep them on the edge. So you can be that person as the instructor, or you can be more of the commentator, sort of like a Phil Liggett, Bob Rowe, or Paul Sherwin, and you can sort of could give more of a play-by-play or sort of even noticing, you know, what's happening to the rider, you know, as an onlooker. So there's definitely a number of roles you can take, whatever one you're comfortable with as an instructor. But once you get them through the opening and sort of the warm-up, they're in that start house, they're at the top of the ramp, you know, that you can have them envision the fancy bike that they're on with their cool helmet, but all that stuff starts to fade into the distance, and it really comes down to, can I go all out and do the best time possible and the best performance possible for 40 minutes? And of course, that's our time. It would be probably easily over an hour for this particular stage in the Tour de France. So, you know, when things begin, you know, hopefully, particularly at the level that these athletes operate on, they start out pretty optimistic, one would hope. You know, maybe they've had some mechanical issues, maybe they're not feeling too good, but I'd say for the most part, they're pretty much ready to go. And this first song is a fun song. It's by a group called The Cypher Down, and it's called Fight Like This. And it really, you know, has some empowering lyrics as far as I'm concerned. Of course, one of the most prominent being, you know, I've just begun. You've never seen a fight like this before. And there's a lot of fun you can have with this, and even excitement, you know, if you're in commentator mode saying, wow, you know, we've never seen someone hit the course with such, you know, vigor, such, you know, attack, such energy. And, you know, that's, you know, something that commentators will use to even get the fans and the participants excited. And they're not necessarily making stuff up, but they with their knowledge of the sport, see that this person has taken to the tarmac with a totally different perspective than they've noticed from any other rider. And that's something you want to try to project onto your riders, that, you know, you're starting this and your mindset is, I've never tried to go after something in class as hard as I'm going to go after this next 40 minutes. And to really encourage them, because they're getting over possibly a lot of disbelief, particularly if they've had bad things that, you know, or things that they've perceived as negative. Maybe they tried a functional threshold test or a talk test, and it didn't go the way they wanted it to go. or they felt like they failed, you know, halfway through or just wasn't successful. Those are the things that are going to be in their head when you start a 40-minute effort. And that's what you as either the commentator can talk to or you as a director sportif can try to get into the head of that rider and say, look, all that stuff is in the past. What I see from you right now is a fight I've never seen before.
Awesome.
So as we continue on, you know, that there's a lot of, you know, cueing and playing off the lyrics as you go with that. So it's a lot of fun. And then, you know, you've got to be able to settle in. And that's something, again, where the director will basically come in over the radio and say, all right, you know, you've gotten over the sort of early pedal stroke jitters. You look like you've got yourself into a rhythm, and you this looks like it's going to be a rock-solid ride for you. And this particular song is called I Am Rock, and it's a really, really cool song. It's actually a song that's been used, I think, in a lot of the sports channels, I think particularly from basketball. So mm-hmm. It comes from the ESPN series. So, you know, it's got that, you know, sort of sport, but almost like, what do you want to call it? Like almost like a slap down kind of in your face kind of talk.
Yep.
And, you know, it's good. It's something that we can use to get ourselves where we need to be. And it's, I mean, what better are you looking for is, yes, I've settled in. I'm on my pace. I'm in my tempo. I am rock. There ain't no breaking me, no shaking me. You know, yeah, you hear that earthquake? Yeah, that's me. Awesome. You know, so it's a real smackdown kind of talk, and there's a lot of psychological positive energy you can gain from that, and it's very, very powerful. So, you know, again, you can use it as a conversation between the coach or director sportif telling the rider this and the rider realizing, yes, I believe you. I am rock. I am unbreakable. So, you know, again, very, very cool reinforcement, a lot of energy. But, of course, at some point, reality sets in. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a bad reality, but it's a taste of reality. And that's what this next song and section is about. It's called Surrender. And the song is Surrender to Reason by Dream Theater. Dream Theater, if you've not ever listened to any of their music, very kind of powerful sort of theatrical rock, hence the name, Dream Theater. But, you know, at this point, the rider's at the 11-kilometer mark in our particular profile, and the rider's about to hit the first of four climbs. Again, these are not categorized climbs, but one of the differences between these particular climbs and possibly a categorized climb in a stage of where you're in the peloton is you can't hide.
Yeah.
You don't get paced by anybody. Everybody is looking at you, and you can't say, well, I'm going to work on this climb, and then my job is done as a, let's say, domestique on the second climb, and I can just, you know, I can tootle in and just make it for the time cut. No, you're in time trial mode, so every climb is full tilt part of the time trial. So, you know, this is usually your first test. I know for me, I can feel great on the flats when I warm up with my group or my team on the weekend, even not even in a ride, but it's that first climb, first time the road goes up, you start making all kinds of correct and incorrect assumptions about how good you feel that day. And that's what's going to happen to you or your riders when they hit this first climb. You know, what is going on? And I love one of the first lines in there. It says, in moments of pain where heart and mind collide. You know, they started out, you know, with the fight like you've never seen. They realize that they are this rock, and all of a sudden, their heart and their mind start having a battle. Their heart is like this vicious athlete that wants to crush this thing, and their mind is starting to throw in reason and reality. And, hey, you know, maybe your legs are a little tired today. In reality, what's that?
Excuses.
Excuses, yeah. But, you know, in reality, in the tour, I mean, this is you know, day 20. There's a lot of road has passed by. A lot of kilometers have gone by. These riders are exhausted. I mean, they're elite athletes. They're used to this level of ultra endurance, but, you know, they are relative to each other. They are exhausted. And now you have to start fighting that reason. And the biggest problem with reason is it's reasonable. and you believe it.
Or it seems reasonable.
Of course. Yeah. So, and you can justify reason. And that's where you start battling with, you know, and I know I've battled with this, just as someone who's, you know, definitely leans on the side of more of a passionate person than sort of an apathetic person. But I've always been that person that's been sort of criticized for being passionate. Oh yeah, it must be nice to be that way, or, you know, yeah, you're always kind of go after things, but maybe you don't hit the obstacles. And when you get into a moment like this, you start to believe those naysayers. It's like, well, maybe I am all kind of talk, and maybe I really can't do this. And, you know, maybe passion isn't really all what it's cracked up to be. And it's really just about the reality that I suck right now, and this climb is going to kill me, and I've got three climbs after this. So one of the other lyrics is, you know, self-reflection helps me decide. That could be a challenge too. Am I going to reflect back on positive experiences? Am I going to reflect back on negative experiences? You know, where am I going to go? So, you know, again, is this struggle, this battle that, you know, that comes upon a rider. And the last prominent line that I highlighted was, my heart and mind unite, help me find my way, help me find my strength, surrender to reason. So that, you know, this rider is having a major struggle on the road, realizing that, you know, they went in with the high hopes of possibly winning, and now they're almost reasoning it all away. All right, so we've got the surrender to reason. Now, you know, the director sportif sees in the body language of the rider, whatever, we got a problem here, and has to motivate this rider and gets the rider to see what they see. And this, again, is where we are the coach. We are the instructor that leads them. We have to get our riders to see what we see they can do. And that's always, you know, a great part of being an instructor, being a coach. And, you know, we get them back on track. You know, this rider happens to catch the glimpse of the rider before them. And as I explained in the PDF, the riders are led off at 1 minute intervals. So, you know, there's a chance of being caught by a rider behind you that's faster. And there's also the chance of, in this case, catching a rider that is not as fast as you are, but you're bearing down on them. And that's what inspires our class at this point. They catch the rider in front of them, and now they have this thought, that rider in front of me is going down.
I love the title of the song, You're Going Down.
Yes, and then even better, Sick Puppies. I mean, you know, you are a pretty sick individual when you see someone. And you know, I've gone into big diatribes in class telling them the mindset of riders, how we basically want to crush, kill, destroy, and murder riders in front of us in a very, you know, different way physically. Yeah, but so, you know, here's this song that's really going to get them back. And, you know, lines like, define your meaning of war. I feel the heat coming over the blacktop. I love that, you know, because of course we're on bikes, we're on the road. You know, make me want it more. There's just so many motivational lines. That get the rider going. And, you know, this is a stream of inspiration that we're going to ride for a while. The next song that comes up is, you know, Can't Nobody Stop Me. Of course, you know, not the most proper English and grammar there, but hey, you know, when we're all pumped up, that's just the way it comes out sometimes. You know, you can think gangster if you want. So at this point, you know, the road's going uphill again, but the rider's in a totally different mindset. And they just feel like, you know, they're going to shoot for the stars. There's no way to stop me. And I love this other line, never see how second place feels.
Oh, perfect.
Like they're not going for second. They're back in the mindset. They've been snapped back into, I'm going to win this thing. You know, can't nobody stop my dreams. Just, you know, things of refusal to lose. Hungry as a hostage. You know, I'm not sure if that offends anybody. But, hey, you know, it's just a great, great analogy.
Stop my mission.
Yes,
where do
you
find these songs? That is awesome.
I don't know. They're all songs I've had in sort of my epic, what I call my epic playlist, which are, you know, more my emotional things. And then I love this song called Unbreakable. You know, it's just, again, we're feeding on that energy. We're trying not to let it go. And this is where I get a lot more into the people that were the critics. And, you know, it could be the other riders maybe talking smack. It could be the media. It could be, you know, a commentator. It could be anything basically saying that, you know, maybe it was posted in the Gazette? What is the French newspaper?
L'Équipe.
Yeah, that was what I was looking for, L'Équipe. So, yeah, posted in the, you know, maybe the French newspaper or the main newspaper at the time that, you know, no way that this rider can close this gap, and maybe they post the number of failures that, you know, the rider has had in the past. But, you know, here it is where this person realized, I am now unbreakable. It's unmistakable. No one can touch me. No one can stop me.
I love that. I'll bring up another potential for some tension and critique is internal to a team. And if you remember, you know, who was going to be, well, first with Lance Armstrong and Contador on the same team, and, you know, the battle who was going to be the team leader, and then between Froome and Wiggins on Team Sky. And we just see it a lot of times when you've got two really strong riders, and it's like, who's going to throw it down and prove to everyone that they're the best?
Absolutely. And you know, those things go beyond the tour. You know, it's who's going to basically get their own team maybe next year, you know, to show themselves that they are a team leader. And, you know, you're not going to have two team leaders on a team in general. Once that starts to happen, someone's going somewhere else or is going to start a team. And we've seen that happen, you know, numerous times. So, you know, here's this song that really goes out to stifling the critics. And maybe it's even that critic, you know, within our own riders. You know, they've got to get that person out. A couple of great lines here. Forget the fear. It's just a crutch that tries to hold you back and turn your dreams to dust. All you need to do is just trust. So it's a great, you know, great lyric for that. You know, I want to dream again. Take me where I've never been. You know, and I use the example here that this rider's never won anything in the tour before. And now they find themselves in this place where they're within striking distance of winning. So just a really great motivation. And the next song, they get to the point where they catch the that rider that they've been chasing for a while, and that's when they get the clearest vision of, I can win this. And, you know, this particular song, I mean, I love the band Muse because they have a lot of, you know, really great sort of topics that they tackle. But this particular song is called Supremacy. And when I remember I first heard it, I thought it was just, you know, about being supreme. But it's about toppling over basically a government or a power or a supremacy. And it's just a couple of – there's not a lot of lyrics to the song at all. But it's funny. You know, if you think about the rider talking to the winner, who is probably just about getting on the road at this time, because if they're the third place rider, you know, three minutes later, the other rider should be on the road by now, the one who's the yellow jersey. But it's like, you don't have long. I'm on to you. The time has come to destroy your supremacy. So, you know, maybe this rider had been in a yellow jersey for days and days, and everyone felt like there's no way to get this guy out of the yellow jersey. Well, this is the time that his supremacy over the tour is about to get stripped away from him. So, you know, again,
I'm
just
exhausted
keep
just listening to it.
I'm sweating over here. I should be on a bike. I probably don't have to ride anymore at this point. Moving with that energy, there comes a point where, you know, we hit the next time check, which is at the 39 kilometers, and you start running out of, let's quote it as, natural resources. You know, your oxygen is getting, you know, getting, your breathing is fatigued, you're running low on fuel. You know, you can try to eat, but when you're in a time trial mode, you know, you're not going to really stop to drink and down anything. You're just flat out. And at this point, it becomes more than how strong your legs are and how good of a VO2 you have. It's really about what's really deep inside. And this song is really cool. It's called Fire on the Inside by Pillar. You know, you've got the director, you know, Sportif, again, billing over the race radio. You know, don't show the media. Don't show your opponents. Don't show anybody. Just show yourself what you have on the inside. And I always felt that is very powerful, because I usually realize I'm my biggest enemy when it comes to a lot of things. And our riders might be the same way. So here's that time, you know, that say, okay, let's dig down really deep. And, you know, I mean, some of the lyrics here, searching for that something I've never known, held captive by the pain. That's a, you know, a great line at this point. You're keeping me alive with this fire on the inside.
Wow.
And, you know, that's the motivation. So we come to the final climb before, you know, we descend, and there's an uphill into the finish. And, of course, you know, no story would be dramatic if we didn't have another potential fall and a failure. But they hit that last climb. And that last climb, if you look at the profile, is not long, but it is steep. And after hammering for however many, you know, minutes they've been hammering, they come into this climb, and they all the bravado, all the excitement, all the passion, everything is on the edge, and they realize that they are becoming undone, and they're just overwhelmed. And this section is called Overwhelmed by Fatigue. Really heavy song by Korn called Coming Undone. And, you know, the director Sportif realizes that the rider's in trouble. Maybe they can see the body language, the shoulders bobbing, the head's down. They're on this climb. You know, the bike has slowed down. Maybe you're noticing your rider starting to slow down. And, you know, you have to go with them. Sometimes you just can't snap them out right away. And, you know, some of the lyrics are pretty much on point. You know, wait, I'm coming undone. Irate, I'm coming undone. Too late, I'm coming undone. What looks so strong, so delicate. And I love that line. It's like 1 minute, we're just like Superman. There's nothing that can stop us. And we realize we're just riding a thread. Wow. And as soon as we hit that next challenge, it tests us again. It's like, wow, I thought I was so strong, but I'm actually delicate. And it talks about, you know, I'm starting to suffocate, and soon I anticipate I'm coming undone. And, you know, you could feel that, you know, your breathing is on its edge. You've reached your aerobic capacity, whatever you want to, you know, use your scientific technical terms. But basically, you just can't breathe anymore. Even the line, choke, choke again, they're out to get me. You think, wow, maybe if that person has failed numerous times, yep, here we go. I'm choking again. You know, I had all these great hopes of winning this thing. Yeah, I'm a choke artist. That's what I'm about. You know, I go out strong, but I choke. And, you know, these are real thoughts. I've had them. Maybe that's why I'm a little more emotional, you know, when I do these things, because it kind of makes me relive things. But of course, you know, we come up over the top, and there's just something about approaching the finish. At this point, the director's prestige says, look, I want you to fly down this mountain like a bat out of hell. You will soar to the finish, and you will win this. And, you know, those are, if you're a coach or you've been coached, those are the type of words that you want to hear. There's no doubt. There's no questions. There's no decisions to be made. You just follow directions. And of course, they're very grand directions. And there's lyrics to this song. But what I've done is I've pulled a piece from every single song and every single emotion that was played. And it's just sort of put back in slightly different words. Like, everyone falters. Everyone experiences weakness. Stumbling will not cost you the race, but panic can steal every bit of glory. So, you know, just trying to get them little by little built back together, put back together to become that victorious rider as they go through. One of my favorite lines is, there is no place for reason when confronted with an unreasonable demand. You know, to confront that song that talked about surrendering to reason. And then the last song is fun. It's just a kind of it's pretty much a mainstream poppy song by The Script and Will.i.am, and it's just called Hall of Fame, and it just got some great lines. I probably wouldn't even talk over it, but it's like, you know, you can be the greatest, you can be the best, you can beat the world, you can throw your hands up. I mean, it's got some great lines. You can beat the clock. I mean, what, you know, how much of a better lyric can you get there?
You can move a mountain. You can be a master.
Yeah. So this just not. I mean, I just, and I was telling Jennifer when I first put the profile together, I knew this song. I could not remember it. I asked my girlfriend. She couldn't remember it. And finally, we both remembered it. So I'm like, wow, I'm glad I found this song. It's so perfect.
Well, I'll tell you what. I feel like I've just raced a time trial. That is so emotional, so moving. Your choice of music and the way you took the words to turn them into the cues for these instructors. I really hope that those of you listening to this, after you've taught this, if I were you, I would practice it a few times. We want to hear about it. We want to hear about how your riders succeeded, because they're going to succeed with your help. With this type of coaching, how can anyone not succeed? Now, even if someone is not, obviously not every student can ride at that intensity for 40 minutes, but whatever they are able to put out for that 40 minutes is going to be success.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited. I look forward to hearing. I'm looking forward to doing it myself. It's probably going to be one of the highlights for me. But definitely would love to hear other people, their experience in their classes and how riders responded.
Well, let me tell you this. When I watched this stage on, I'm not sure what day it is. It's the second penultimate day, right? It's the second to last day. This is what's going to be on my mind You know, as I watch it on television, or I'll be watching it on the computer, I will be thinking of your words and wondering what the director sportif is telling that writer. And I'm sure there, you know, a lot of times they're similar. I am going to find a link to a YouTube video of one director sportif. He's kind of famous in the cycling world, and I can't remember what nationality is. He's not Spanish, but he loves to scream "Venga, venga, venga," which is a Spanish.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I mean, he is nonstop screaming in their ears, and he is, but emotional, like almost crying. He has turned his riders into winners because of it.
He probably was an ex-soccer, commentator or something.
Possibly.
Or whatever, European football.
Now that we're going through the World Cup as we speak,
exactly.
We've heard some of they're definitely pretty energetic. Well, Tom, I just have to say thank you so much for such an inspiring profile. And instructors, please tell us your experience of teaching this to your students and what they tell you.